Hello and welcome to UC Today. I'm Tom Wright and I'm delighted to be joined by John from J. Arnold & Associates and Valerie from Intermedia. It's great to have you both, guys. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you.
And John? Me too. All is well. Everybody's ready to go, right?
Great. Yeah, it's great to have you both. We've got a really interesting discussion today around the channel and UCAS, some of the opportunities and challenges they're facing. Valerie, it'd be good to start with you, if that's okay. I wonder if you could set the scene and talk through some of the biggest challenges that partners are facing when it comes to selling UCAS at the moment.
Yeah, sure. I see a couple of things going on. I mean, depending on the type of partner it is. So we've got some, you know, partners who have a lot of options in terms of, you know, who they're going to sell UC and CC, but these options don't always provide them the ability to keep their own label. So white labeling, I think, can be a big deal for some of our partners who are looking to sell UC and CC. And I particularly see this, too, with service providers right now, as they're looking to expand their own portfolios from, you know, traditional PBX and move into the UC-CC space. And their white label is really important to them. And, you know, we've seen news about BroadSoft and Metaswitch not really updating their platforms right now to support UC and CC. So they're also looking for alternatives. These are all things that, you know, we've been hearing at the industry events that we've been going to and as we're talking to partners.
And John, you're obviously always at these events. You speak to a lot of vendors and partners. Are you kind of seeing the same trends?
Well, yeah, certainly the white label is a big part of the story. You know, the partners want to have some, you know, the branding can add some value. But I think, too, you know, there's the back end of it all, too, right, is how do you – it's not just selling the UCAS and everything around it, but it's also, you know, how do they support those customers? And so the more a partner can a vendor can support the partner with both, you know, front-end and back-end capabilities and make it as kind of smooth for them so they don't have to be that hands-on to manage things, it makes a big difference because, you know, it's one thing to be just selling stuff out of the box. You might as well just order it off the web. But here, you know, the partner, you know, the channels have to find a way to kind of instill a value layer that they bring on top of it. And so that white label is one piece of it. But the more that they can take it beyond a commodity is really, I think, what the end customers are going to see the most value in. Right. Because at the end of the day, right, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, Teams is dominating so much and there is, people want alternatives and there's all kinds of reasons why that would be a good thing to have. So the more channels can offer choice, I think the better.
Yeah, that's well put. I agree.
And obviously, we're talking about UCAS, the cloud migration is still a huge opportunity for partners, but there's still a few businesses that are perhaps, you know, a bit reluctant to move to the cloud. And Valerie, I wonder if you could talk through some of the things you're seeing there and what might be some of the trends behind this reluctance for some businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely know that there's still a massive opportunity for many businesses, especially larger businesses, to move from their on-premise solutions to the cloud. And we're even seeing some interest now in cloud-to-cloud solutions, maybe cloud solutions that were put in hastily, not well thought out band-aid solutions. And now companies are looking for something a little bit more robust. I think that the questions are probably, and the reluctance is just in change. Change is hard and it's hard to embrace the reason to change, especially if their current solution is paid for and is working. They don't realize any of the hidden costs associated with managing those solutions and the efficiencies I think that they can gain to need to go into the equation for them. The other thing that I don't know that people have wrapped their minds around yet is how AI and some of those efficiencies are really going to influence and provide some competitive advantage to organizations in the future. And they're going to have to adopt the cloud to be able to take advantage of those technologies that are really starting to, you know, spin up, but not everybody knows exactly what it means yet.
Yeah, I can add a bit to that as well, Tom. You know, I think there are kind of two forks in the road for a lot of this. And one of them is there's going to be very practical scenarios where, you know, it might be the regulations in their particular vertical, or just the mindset that's kind of tied to a complex legacy deployment that's been built up for many years. That's especially true in the contact center, where it's kind of like a Frankenstein thing that's very difficult to unpack. And you don't want to, you know, mess with that unless it's really broken. So there's good reasons to kind of stay the course for what you're doing, even though you know it's going to be holding you back a bit. But there are hybrid approaches, right, where a lot of the vendors can give you the best of the cloud without going fully there. So that's the second fork, is the level of understanding or maybe some misperceptions about cloud, because it up front it looks like, oh, it's basically an OpEx play, so it's easier on the budgets. Long term, actually, cloud is going to be more expensive because you're continually paying for it. But the difference with prem is that with cloud, it keeps getting better, so the value of what you're doing actually rises. So you may spend more over time, but you're getting more value because of the capabilities it brings. And I'm with you, Valerie. The AI is a bit of a potential curveball to this. No one really knows how it's going to play out, but I would very strongly say AI should not be a reason to not go to the cloud. You can do a lot without it, and just do some baby steps with AI and you'll find, you know, it's not as scary as it looks.
I couldn't agree more. And you're absolutely right on the vertical piece of that too. I think there are regulatory reasons why certain companies, let's say healthcare, for example, is a big one, or legal. There's some things that they had to do that, like call recording and video recording and chat recording and archiving that haven't always been available in UCCC. And they need to be embedded there to help those organizations make the change.
Yeah, so John, staying with kind of the AI theme, do you see it as being a driver that will kind of help nudge people towards the cloud? Is it quite that powerful?
Short answer is capital YES, yes. But it's also equally scary, unknown territory, and there aren't nearly enough guardrails in place yet. And I find it's very interesting that there's a lot of quick things happening at the U.S. federal government level now to try to regulate it. And I've been saying for a while this year, there's going to be some pushback to AI in general because it's moving just too fast for everybody. And so there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of hope that you're pinning to this thing. But I will say that, you know, I talk to all the vendors and they're, you know, if they're not AI first, they want to be. And no one can afford to miss this bus. And they have to have the offerings for it. And I think the challenge is to stop talking about it as AI and just talk about it as the benefits and the outcomes you're trying to enable. And I think the less techno speak you give to this, the better the chances you're going to have. I mean, right up and down the line, Valerie, for the value chain, what customer, what channel partner, what integrator, what vendor, what platform provider really understands this stuff. You know, there's only so many PhD data scientists to go around. The rest of us are just like, we're nodding our heads and say, oh, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. And okay. But it's, you know, it's developer driven and it's very complicated, but if you put it in the right hands, it can do a lot of good things.
So what we're seeing is specifically with small businesses that is saying the word AI is not, it's more of a detractor than it is a something that makes them want to move to the cloud. They're like, no, I'm just a small business. I don't need AI. And I don't think people realize how much they're using AI today when they don't even know that it's AI. To your point, John, they're just not calling it that. They're calling it what it does. So I think when people see short demos, for example, of how like a chat bot inside, you know, your IM, you can basically Google or ChatGPT, right, you know, embedded without leaving like your UCCC platform. If they can see how that works and watch a demo of it, they're going to be like, oh, no, I get it. That's cool. Just not referring to it as AI is an efficiency. And, you know, where is it going to take you? It'd be way less scary.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the small biz segment, Valerie, because, yeah, they're probably like, the least sophisticated and probably more cost driven than anything else. So that's the not the thing to be talking to them about. But when you can hit their pain points and say, how do you compete more effectively with e-com guys, with bigger competitors and all that stuff, and become more agile, you start putting it in those terms and say, you know what? And it doesn't have to be that expensive. Just focus on where it can help. And the biggest thing that I tell people is don't get too ambitious with AI out of the gate, but just keep in mind, it's something that when you deploy even a small thing like a chatbot, it gets better as you use it. So don't think of it as like a point solution out of the box. You know, PBX does the same thing 20 years from now it will do today. AI is not like this. It's a very fluid idea. So you got to be in the right mindset to you know, work with it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's quite easy to go straight down the AI avenue, isn't it? But there's so much to talk about when it comes to kind of the opportunities and the challenges for the channel. And John, I'd like to pick up on something you mentioned just now. You mentioned that you speak to all of the vendors across the board. I wonder if from your conversation you picked up on anything that vendors could be doing more of to help customers, help partners bring their customers on the cloud migration journey and give them a competitive edge as well.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things there. You said specifically about cloud migration journey, right? And I think that's the bigger story. Like AI is going to subsume everything, whether we like it or not. But cloud is as you said, Valerie, the cloud op is still very much in play. It's early innings, all that stuff. And I think you have to kind of like, it's a precondition for AI. You can't do it without it. There are AI applications that can still work with prem-based, yes, but it's pretty limited compared to the really valuable stuff. So I think what you're trying to do with cloud is talk about future-proofing, is to say, listen, if you're only thinking ahead 6 months, no, we don't need to do this. But if you're thinking longer term for the value of, you know, how you grow your business and stay competitive, you just have to point to them and say, listen, there isn't, you know, every single vendor is moving from, you know, they've already moved from hardware to software, and now they're moving from prem to cloud. And that wave is just, you know, it's too broad right now to ignore. And the other side of it, like you mentioned earlier too, Valerie, the risk of if you stay, you know, staying put isn't a good strategy. It will maybe sustain you for a while, but just remember all of your competitors, whenever they start moving to the cloud, they're going to start moving faster and further away from where you are right now. And there's really no recourse to staying, you know, hanging with them until you can really get on the same page, because that's the only way. And, you know, you start just talking about the pace of business is faster, your customers expect more, everything happens in less time now, and you got to be agile, you got to be able to move quickly. And those all play to the strengths of the cloud. And when you start talking about things like APIs and open frameworks, things that allow you to adapt on the fly to changing market conditions, that's how you stay put. Not having to go to your SI and say, hey, can you build this application for me? It'll take forever. It'll cost a fortune. And that's what drives a lot of these players away from the big incumbent vendors, because that's not what they're built for. So they have to, you know, put it in their heads to say, how do you make your business more, you know, successful and to keep pace with your competitors? This is a big part of that story.
Yeah, I mean, John's making a good point that, you know, that it's a solution sell, right? Like, it's a simple product. It's voice video, you know, video chat, you know, all of that. But I think one of the things that vendors can do to support their partner community is making the complex as simple as absolutely possible for that partner to add voice into their portfolio or UCCC into their portfolio where they didn't have it before. So like providing out of the box emails and campaigns that they can use to go prospect, providing pitch decks, providing calculators that they can use, providing just plain old field marketing support, right? So like somebody just supporting that partner or that marketing organization and co-sell team. Like we're seeing a lot of organizations who haven't traditionally sold voice start to add it into their portfolio, like copier print dealers. They've got these great relationships with business offices. And we're also seeing that with healthcare consultants, that they've got great relationships with clinics, and they're in there selling them full service, other products. And while they're there, they can say, how about your voice solution? So just providing that support that a non-traditional, not like an MSP or a VAR might have, I think that's important as well.
Yeah, and fewer partners, fewer vendors to manage.
Yep. Yes.
When you think, speaking to IT, it's not just budget, but it's their jobs too.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with the speaking to IT. When I think about the collateral that we provide to other partners trying to have it in those different personas, because IT isn't necessarily the buyer of UCCC today. So making sure that, you're providing those partners with the business cases, depending on who it is that they're going to talk to.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I think it tells you how much is going on in the industry that we've covered so much in just about 20 minutes or so. I've just got one final question for you, Valerie. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, if that's okay. I wonder if you could give us some clues about what we can expect to see from Intermedia this year, particularly around your evolving channel strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So there's a couple of things that are already out there that are unique to Intermedia and definite competitive advantage in the marketplace right now as it relates to our UC product. So, for example, we talked about AI. There's more to come with AI that's coming down the pike, where customers will be able to, and or partners will be able to load company-specific information into an AI tool and use it to help find or organize for their own employees, Q&A questions. But even right now, embedded in the product is that chatbot I was talking about, and that's absolutely free. It's just ChatGPT. If you've used it already, just embedded like it's its own, your own personal buddy inside the application in chat. So I think I use it all the time. I think it's great. Another thing that we have today that's included in the product that more and more people ought to know about and talk about, it's only going to get better, is rolling 30 days of archiving. And that is archiving for your IMs. It's archiving for your voice calls and your video calls, because the reality is you're going to get an email. If you're doing customer service, you get an inbound call in, then you might trade a couple of emails, and then you might hop on a video chat or share a couple of IMs, and you want to be able to see that conversation, with your customer, or that customer service interaction all at once. And so it needs to be searchable and all of that. So we're just including that rolling 30 days. But then, John, for those other regulatory, regulated, like legal and healthcare, they're going to want a rolling 10 years on every one of those lines of archiving, and it has to be searchable. So we think that's a competitive advantage, and what you can see, and that's getting embedded in our CC product as we speak as well. So archiving for CC is coming.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Valerie, because I have followed what you guys have been doing with that for quite some time. And this actually is just a quick aside, Tom. It ties into the AI story, because AI is all about data. And the more data you have that you can access that can be used by AI, the more it can fine tune its capabilities. So the acronym for our listeners here to keep in mind for later in this year is LLM, and that stands for Large Language Models. And this is kind of the dominant thread right now in AI, where things are happening. And it's all about the more you can kind of harness the data in your organization. And this is where the archiving is so important, because that content, so to speak, is raw material for machine learning algorithms and natural language processing. These are all the building blocks of AI to help you fine tune models that, as you mentioned, Valerie, when the chat can automatically pop up and generate messages and responses for you, because it's learning from your internal language data points, it can really customize the tone, the language, the acronyms that you use in your organization and your industry. So it sounds authentic, and it is authentic because it's learning from the source. Your
yeah, it's
stuff.
Learning from the source. Right, exactly.
Well, yeah.
And we're looking to it too to help help us understand how to predict and mitigate churn. I mean, we have shameless plug. I mean, we have way less than 1% churn on our white label UC business, but we still think about it as an organization. We know our customers think about it in terms of their organization. So if these chats can help companies understand customers who are likely to churn or have a high propensity to buy, that becomes just a whole other game-changing competitive advantage.
Absolutely. Exciting. Well, I think that's a great place to leave things. Thank you both for your time. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, it's always nice to see you.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, Valerie, thanks. Thanks for listening,
thank you.
Everybody.
Yep. As John said, thank you everyone for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please give us a like and a share on social media, and we'll see you next time.